Hey, everybody, and welcome to Save Your Sorry, the podcast where we discuss the rise and fall of your favorite, or rather, least favorite celebrities. I'm your host, Katrina Rochelle, here with my best friend and fellow co-host, Jose Angel. How have you been doing lately?
I have been doing a 7 out of 10.
Dang, okay, so we're doing ratings. Okay, 7 is not actually bad. It's above average.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. If you're a 10 out of 10, you're like medicated.
I mean, with the good stuff, because, I mean, life is great.
Yeah.
So I'll say 6, just because, you know, I felt like you really meant that 7, and I can't put a good 7 right out there. So I'm gonna go 6.
That's a good score, above average.
Thank you.
And below mine, so it makes me happy.
I knew you would like that part. All right, so for today's episode, Jose will be taking over. He will be doing something a little different, right? You want to explain it to us?
Yes, with it being almost 3 years of Save Your Sorry, we will be doing our Podcaster on Podcaster special, where we just reflect on our time here. And I keep saying it's 2 years, but it's been 3 years. Can you believe that? 3 years.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. 3 years is crazy.
I guess you can say we're professionals now.
Oh, Lord. Can we actually say that?
No, I don't want to. We're still rookies. So anytime like people criticize us, like, we're just brand new, guys. Like, go easy on us.
We ain't got no skin in the game. We're just starting out.
This is a special kind of episode, which only kind of makes sense if you already have listened to us. So if you haven't listened to us and this is your first time poking your head in, I don't think this is the episode for you.
What the hell is wrong with you? You don't turn away any listeners.
I feel like they would be lost.
No, I believe in you, listener. Please stay. Don't leave.
Okay. I do want to give a few updates as well on a few of our subjects that seem to be in the news again. So I think we'll do updates and then have a conversation and just see how it goes.
First time listeners, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to even sit up.
So our first update is on our pal, Russell Simmons.
All right.
I think our unofficial co-host and frequent media write-in listener, Patricia, summed it up perfectly in a comment. So I'll read that. She said, "I believe he's just a nasty bastard, gross as fuck, just using his power to take advantage of women." I think that's a fair assessment of Russell. Would you agree?
I agree. And he looks like a turtle. I said.
I do see the turtle resemblance. So when we left off with Russell, he was fleeing the country, heading to Bali. Is that how you say it? Bali?
Yeah.
It's heavily speculated he left to avoid charges here in the good old United States of America. And Russell was in the news again when someone we all know as a frequent dancer in the rain and Super Bowl performer, Usher, went to visit him in Bali.
Yeah.
Russell kind of makes a woe is me post saying, "When I was at the lowest point in my life, I woke up and this man was sitting by my bed. I had known Usher since he was a kid, but we really bonded because of our mutual love of self-discovery and our belief in yogic science as a direct route to realizing God's consciousness in ourselves." Russell's former wife found the humor in this post and wrote in her Instagram stories, "What is this I'm seeing in the news today? LOL, y'all some wild boys, for real," then followed it up with, "Not by my bed. LOLOL.
Not by my bed." Gamora, you got it, girl. That was funny, though.
So I think this has caused many jokes because Usher is already speculated to be linked to Diddy and the human trafficking of it all.
Uh-huh.
So with all those rumors, the by the bed comment, some people like Kamora Lee Simmons found the humor. And Usher is not the first celeb to visit him. Taraji P. Henson, I believe last June, she took a smiling photo with him at his Bali resort. But what has really brought Russell back into the news is that justice might be catching up to him. Drew Ditson had sued him for defamation for calling her a liar in an interview and suggesting that she made up the sexual harassment and assault claims for fame.
Uh-huh.
And to serve him the papers, a processor named Daniel John Ayoub went to the resort Russell owns. He says he had to go through 2 security checkpoints and waited an hour for Russell to appear. When Russell finally walked in, Daniel was able to serve him. And Daniel handed him the papers. Russell said, "Where is this from?" Daniel responded with, "You've been served from the state of New York." Russell dropped the envelope and said, "Aw, fuck, shit." Daniel would return to his table, paid his tab. He claims he heard Russell on the phone, assuming with his attorney And while Daniel was leaving, he could hear Russell question security on how Daniel got in. If that's true, then it seems Russell is actively trying to avoid receiving these lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. He ain't trying to get served. He said, I ran away from my problems. What the fuck are y'all bringing them to me from in Bali?
I think something that Russell has said and some of his defenders have said is that he moved to Bali before these accusations. But this just proves otherwise if he is having security checkpoints, making sure people aren't coming in to serve him.
And it's not even like he didn't move to Bali before the accusations. He had stuff. He had roots there. But this man liquidated all of his assets and officially moved to Bali right after all those accusations came out. I mean, granted, no, he didn't just up and go to Bali the first time ever. But no, that man fled. He fled. Fled like a flood.
And I'm interested to see how this progresses. It is a civil case, but I think it can open the door for more lawsuits if he does return to the United States. I would imagine he would try to do it without making an appearance, like through his lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Or Zoom. Or he's going to try to find whatever loophole he can find, he's going to try to do it.
Yeah, because I feel like if he does come to the United States, it's definitely, if someone's trying to sue him, definitely easier to do it that way. And if people are trying to, or law enforcement tries to get criminal charges, you know, they could get him there.
Yeah, I don't think really criminal might not. I don't think criminal will happen, but he definitely can get lit up on them civil suits with all the people who are trying to, like, get at him.
I agree. Probably not criminal. Criminal's just already so hard to prove.
And the statute of limitations is crazy. But oh my gosh, that Usher shit pissed me off. I didn't even know about the Taraji stuff. And I love me some Taraji. I just don't understand. I don't know. I guess it's like support your friends, show them that you have your back. But if I'm me, maybe this is the fake part, but also if I'm a fake person who has shitty friends or terrible people as friends, I'm not going to be public with that. But also, I think that I wouldn't have shitty friends to this degree. I think I would distance myself from people who were accused of sexual assault and rape and who fled to get away from them and have never truly, like, talked about the accusations besides just saying, like, you're innocent, but not actually refuting the evidence that has been brought by these women.
I think definitely celebrities know that. They don't have to say anything, but taking a photo with him like Taraji did is definitely an endorsement.
Yeah. And I also think because people are just so shady in Hollywood, people just have each other's number. So it's like, hey, I showed you support, or I ain't spilled your business out in the street. So are you going to show me a little love? You going to show me a little support? I was just so flabbergasted because everybody had been saying all these good things about Usher. And then he did the Super Bowl and everybody loved it or whatever, whatever. And then next thing you know, picture with Russell Simmons. I was like, what? A handscarf topless doing yoga with Russell? Okay, choices. Lots of choices.
That was a choice for Usher to do that. But, you know, I guess sometimes those bonds are hard to break.
Yeah, maybe.
So our next little update is on actress/comedian/charm school headmaster Monique.
Oh, and no.
Are you familiar with this update?
I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know what to say.
So Monique went on the podcast, Club Shay Shay, is it called?
Uh-huh.
And it kind of swayed a lot of people's opinions on Monique relating to the Lee Daniels, Oprah, and Tyler Perry feud that she claims got her blackballed from Hollywood. You know, she's been saying it for years every time she's in an interview, and she said it here, but I feel like it had more of an impact.
Uh-huh.
And in our episode covering Monique, you were on her side, and I was just not having it. But with this interview and the talk afterwards, I was moved more towards Monique's side. Around the same time, Taraji P. Henson was pretty much saying the same thing Monique has been saying, that she was not being taken care of on set with things she expected, with the pay, with things related to her safety. And people were on Taraji's side. But people were pointing out why, when Monique said it, it was a problem. And I still couldn't stand Monique. So, of course, I was like, well, that's different. But, you know, the interview helped me see more of her side, especially when she said if she was a white woman, her name would be Melissa McCarthy.
That's just still crazy to me.
At first, I was like, shut up. Melissa is a national treasure. But Monique broke it down and it made sense to me. They both came from the same type of background, 5-year sitcom, both in syndication. But Melissa got more and better offers. And of course, I wasn't ready to let this grudge go. So I thought, well, it's because you need to do everything with your husband, Monique. But Melissa does too. Like, her husband's involved in a lot of things. And I remember even discussing that with you. And I was like, damn, I was wrong about Monique.
Mm-hmm.
So she won me over, briefly. But then arrogance showed its ugly face again. And I realized, yeah, I don't like Monique. And it's not the situation I disagreed with. It's just how Monique moves and handles things. Monique briefly brought up that she did not have the best relationship with her oldest son, but she's working on it. She said something like she's praying to the universe, letting the universe deal with it. And her son, Shalom, says it's a false narrative that they want to fix the relationship, saying she doesn't have interest in being his mom, and he doesn't have interest in being her son. And if it would have ended right there, I and others' people's opinions might not have shifted against Monique, because she really had, for however long between this happened, she had like people on her side and rallied around her.
Yeah.
But then Monique and her husband, Daddy, decided to go on Instagram Live talking about how they bought him stuff and gave him money. How husband Daddy only says they have 3 kids because he's always been Uncle Sid to Shalom and not his father. And they are pretty much reaffirming everything Shalom says, but are trying to shame him for accepting money and having mental illness. They also show a 3-year-old text exchange between Monique and Shalom, which is a lot of Monique just not responding and saying, you know, I'll call you back later or something, which I don't know why she even showed that text exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But Monique would also tell a story at a comedy show. I guess it was supposed to be a joke, but the only joke I saw on that stage was Monique. And she tells a story about meeting an 80-year-old lady at the airport. And pretty much the old lady is on her side and says, F that N-word. And Monique just says that over and over as the joke, talking about her son.
Yeah.
Where she really lost a lot of people is the son was saying, Shalom, was saying in his initial video that Monique had a history of not owning up to things with him. And a history of kind of letting Sydney, her husband, who she calls Daddy, speak for her. And just that's what that Instagram Live video reaffirmed, is that she did it. That's what she does, is because she let Sydney talk for her. She was just saying that, oh, when I gave you this money or when I bought you this for your child, she says for the newborn, or he says, Sydney says for the newborn, which also rubbed me the wrong way, because it's like, that's your grandchild. Why not say, we bought this for our grandchild? Why say the newborn? But it's just, she could have easily, one, just not responded, or two, just said, you're right. Like, I don't understand. How is your feeling about that?
Oh, no, Monique. That's all I kept saying every time I saw her respond. Monique, stop it. Monique, husband, daddy. That's hilarious. To be fair, I'm gonna tell you, did not listen to none of the videos. Once I figured out what the situation was, when he came out and then she responded and then he responded and then she responded and then the joke and all that, I listened to none of it because I had already knew that I would have felt a way. So I didn't need to listen to it to feel more of a way. The way I feel about it is what Monique didn't do wasn't criminal. But I do think that Monique can be a great comedian, can be absolutely correct about the thoughts of how she got blackballed, how she got treated, and the pay disparity and inequality in Hollywood, and be a shitty ass parent. I think it's all possible. I think, unfortunately, her responses to her grown child showed that whatever happenings and a bad relationship they had with each other in the past has obviously not healed and has only gotten rougher. especially with that language that you said. Now, like I said, I didn't listen to the video, so I didn't know who was saying or whatever, but that does say a lot. If Sydney is still referring to this man not as his son and not referring to his child as their grandchild, then there is a definite disconnect, and you do not really truly see that person as family. Even if you were so-called Uncle Sid, if you're playing the role of a father and you're a parental father figure in a child's life, no matter what your title is to that child, you would still consider that person one of your children. So you saying that also shows that you've never seen him as somebody in your life permanently or as a child of yours. He's been a attachment, an extra, and maybe that's how y'all treated him based off what's going on.
And you know what's also weird?
What?
Okay, Monique has 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
She has Mark Shalom, who's the one who made the video. Mm-hmm. And then she has twins, Jonathan and David.
Yeah, with Sid, right?
Yes, the twins are Sid's. But Sydney has always referred to having 3 kids.
Oh, so he considers the oldest, but not Shalom.
Yes. So it's not about, like, you know, he has a different father or anything. It's, for some reason, there is a disconnect with this specific son.
And you wonder why. I mean, Shalom probably explained it on his end why, but, you know, they're somewhere in the middle of what they're both saying is the truth. I think, honestly, I think that Monique and Sydney probably weren't the best parents to Shalom, at least. Haven't heard anything from the other ones. I think the twins are still slightly underage. But I do think that, like I said, I'm not totally, like, for Shalom either. Not only because I don't know who he is, but also it's one of those situations where, like, you're an adult and she wasn't, I don't even know, because I don't like blaming the child either, because I'm always for these children calling these shitty parents out. So I don't even know if I could say that and really feel at peace with myself.
I think he had a right to respond, because it's always been, you know, the narrative is out there that she's not that close to her son. There's a separation, an estrangement.
But she's working on it. So that's where he has a sticking point on it and saying that she's working on it when truly she's not. And he wants to pull her out.
He's saying she has no interest in being a mom. I have no interest in being a son. Her son. And he said one quote in one of the videos, like, she tried to ask God for the answer and she didn't like what she heard. So then she went to the universe. And I'm like, I like that.
That's hilarious, calling out all the religious people. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough only because I see the benefit in, I don't know, because I think, and this is just, I don't know if this is like trauma, repressed memories talking or whatever, but I kind of see, if that's all Monique said in the interview with, what's his name, Shannon Sharp, if all she said was, you know, I have this older son, whatever, we have this troubled relationship, I'm working on it, or whatever, or, you know, I'm gonna go to the universe about it. If that's all she said about him, I see that as like the Black families need to tend to like sweep things under the rug to make sure everything's okay, because we don't need everybody in our business type thing. And then once he responded, everybody was in our y'all's business, so then y'all just blew the doors off the shit.
Yeah.
So I also want, I don't know, because that must have really bothered him, just because, and I'm not going to be one of those people who say, well, he waited so long, why did he just speak out now? Because that's not really my issue of the now. It's just I just thought, like, it's one of those things where somebody pokes you and then somebody punches you.
Yeah.
So I just wondered why that one thing triggered him to like expose everything. Yeah, I don't think Monique was good to him, and I don't think they're going to solve it anytime soon. So I'm glad that they've stopped addressing each other and kind of let it go by the wayside. But I do think it definitely hurt Monique's cause and her upwards trajectory, because she, like, a lot of positive reinforcement from that interview. So it definitely dampened her. I think she'll recover slightly, but this will be another thing people bring up if she. Quote unquote goes left again. If she starts saying some backward shit, or she starts saying some shit somebody don't like, they're going to bring this thing up the son and her being hard to work with again.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I still think now that I've thought it over, yeah, she was screwed over and blackballed. But before I say it online, like, that's her karma, you know. She can't fix things with her son, but she expects Oprah and Tyler Perry to fix things. So, like you said, they're just going to throw it in her face.
Exactly. And I saw that exact tweet, and I've said, okay, criticize her, but please be accurate. She's not looking for Tyler Perry and Oprah to fix things per se. The original argument was they were trying to get this bitch to do shit that they weren't even trying to pay her for, and then couldn't answer the bitch calls, and then betrayed her by putting her family on TV, and then called her and said that they was going to make it right, and then never made it right. Those were the problems. She wasn't like asking. She asked them to make it right by apologizing and setting the record straight. But yes, this is bad karma per se. The thing about this whole karma situation is that you got to deal with your karma the way you're going to deal with your karma. And sometimes I think some things are not overlapping.
Yeah.
Because she was successful for a while. So damn, the karma waited a long ass time to hit.
Yeah. But that is all on Monique. How she had me for like a week, and then I texted you and I said she lost me.
I was so upset. Because you was like, oh yeah, I'm Monique. She won me over. She's
I was like, I'm gonna watch this movie. I can't wait. And I'm like,
you did not say all that. Now you're trying to oversell.
I'm gonna buy her tickets to a comedy show, number one Monique fan.
Yeah, oh my God, I did see that fuck that nigga joke. I was just like, why? Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. We're off over.
Okay, so the next update, which is really big in the news, is Drake Bell. Drake Bell was on the documentary, HBO documentary, Quiet on Set, which focuses on Nickelodeon. I'm not going to get too much into it because I feel like one day maybe I do want to cover Nickelodeon, but it was, you know, people went in thinking it was going to be about Dan Schneider, which it was about him and some horrible stuff he did. But then it moves on to other people. And one of those people is Brian Peck. And Brian Peck was a dialogue coach on set. And he got really close to Drake until Drake was, I believe, sleeping and he woke up to being raped. And it said, when they asked him in the documentary, like, what happened, and Drake pretty much just says, think about the worst thing that you can imagine, and that's what happened. And then they show, like, court documents, and it says, sodomy with a foreign object. You know, pretty much he was raped repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And that is horrible. I'm not taking that away from Drake. He was a victim, and it was horrible. It is also horrible what Drake did to that 15-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at first, when people were coming out and saying, well, remember Drake's this, remember Drake's that, remember that Drake's this, I thought there's a time and place for everything. Like, he's just now telling his story. The first thing we don't need to throw in his face is what he's done, even though it is a horrible thing, and I don't think it is something that should be forgiven. But now I'm kind of seeing it almost go too far, where it's like, oh, that girl's a liar, Drake was a victim, Drake's this, Drake's that. And you can be a victim, but that does not mean you can also be a predator. If we find out that Brian Peck was a victim, does that change anything? No. So I don't think this should change anything for Drake Bell. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%. I 100% agree with everything that you said. I was just not... I was astonished when I was on Twitter seeing like the responses about the Drake portion of Quiet on the Set specifically. I was just like you said, at first I did understand. I'm not saying I wanted all the damn posts to say he's a predator, he's a this, he's a that. But there was a lot of misinformation. There was a lot of, well, Drake's a victim too, and he didn't even do think blank or blank to this girl, or that girl lied about her age, and Drake didn't plead to this, he plead to that. And it's like, okay, first of all, yeah, I got the wrong information. Secondly, just because this man has shared his story about being a victim does not mean we should not forget his own predatory past that he did admit to. And also, I felt like it was kind of irresponsible that it wasn't, or because I haven't watched it, I don't think it was mentioned, was it? And maybe that's contingent on Drake being a part of the documentary. I get it. It's hard for filmmakers to be like, we need this person to talk about this experience, but they don't want to talk about this stuff that happened after, and you can't get them to do both. But it's just, I just felt like it was irresponsible because now the audience only has half of a total story about a person and about a situation and about the longstanding consequences of this thing happening to this man as a child.
I believe it was mentioned briefly and it was just said something like he went to therapy and he regrets it and is working on it or something like that. Like it was very brief.
I don't know how to feel about it because I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to tell people that a previous victim has also victimized other people like he was victimized. But I just felt like it was done irresponsibly. So
yeah. And again, like at first I was like, okay, let's chill with that. But then it's like, when do you bring it up? Because then if you chill too much, then we're rewriting history and the girl's now being attacked. She's being called a liar. They're saying, well, that's why they turned it the case. You know, he's not a registered sex offender because she was a liar. They didn't have evidence. And it's like, we know how plea deals work. We know they plead down. They get less charges. They maybe they don't have enough evidence, but there's enough there that Drake decides to take a plea, not risk it.
Yeah.
You can take settlements, you can take plea deals, but there are certain things that you know you cannot take a plea deal to. Because if you are innocent and you're taking a plea deal to that, you know, there are some things that you have to risk it. But Brian Peck is a disgusting human being.
Literal piece of fucking garbage. That's disgusting. And you keep it on. I'm sorry. Whew, I'm about to jump ahead.
Just that show. A lot of the quiet on set. Some of the parents, I was like, you go. Like, you defend your child. There was this woman. I don't remember her name. But she was a blonde mom. She was a black mom. And it was talking about how her son, like, kind of resented her because he got fired because she was pretty much, you know, saying, this is not right. Like, what's going on on the show?
Yeah.
And then you had other parents that it's like, you knew something was going on, but you don't want to rock the boat and you kind of allowed it to happen. And it's a really messed up show that makes you, like, your stomach turn. Because there was one mother who said she found, like, someone sent her daughter naked photos and she decided not to go to the police because she did not want to be seen as a bad mom. And it's like, that makes you a bad mom.
Yeah, I don't understand that rationality. Especially you only think that if you know, you have an idea of where they came from. Why'd you think that?
Yeah, I think she knew. She just, like, was like, oh, stay away from him.
That's why they say that. I mean, not as much now because they're trying to create more laws, but especially back in the day in the 90s, well, the 80s, 90s, whatever you want to call it, when child stars were really like the big booming thing, it's so dangerous because these parents lose a part of their humanity and their like parental like minds, I think, when it comes to their children, because they stop seeing them as their children and more like money making machines. This is my ticket to the house. This is my ticket for a new car. This is going to be my debt-free life. So it's like you're not even caring about your child's needs. You're caring about your child's like outward needs, I guess, in a way that's going to serve you, not them as a person.
And I gotta say, I forgot how good the All That theme song was. They played that like so many times. Like, I love this song.
I used to love All That so much. I used to love the Nickelodeon like teen block. I used to love all those shows. It's so crazy.
Yeah, if you watch that, it definitely ruins it. But another thing I do want to discuss is I wanted your opinion too. I don't think it's appropriate for people to speculate if someone got abused. Like, if they said that, if they're out there saying I was abused, okay, that's different. I think that's, you can discuss that. But there's, just with Usher, you know, they were saying, well, this is why so-and-so didn't perform because Usher abused him. It's like, you don't know for sure. And if it is true, if they're not coming forward, there's a reason. They don't feel comfortable coming forward. Like, what do you think discussing that is going to help?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I get people having their conspiracy theories and all that. But yeah, it does. It's another thing is it's harmful, spreads misinformation because you have a theory on something you think based off some context clues that you and somebody else picked up on based off some pictures and videos that y'all kept looking at and tried to figure out links.
Like Amanda Bynes is like, she's not in there, but they talk about her a lot. And, you know, people are saying stupid shit like, oh, she looks like she looks now because she doesn't want anyone to find her attractive. And it's like, did Amanda say that?
Yeah, that's y'all being like fake ass psychologists.
If they're not saying that, I think we should not speculate on that. There's so much that I'm okay with speculating on, but I think right there, that's not okay.
And it's just so funny how people think that because you can apply some things to some different sexual assault or rape victims or survivors or whatever survivors, I think is the better way, actually, a better word to say, that you can apply it to all of them. So because you heard that some women decide to go from ultra feminine to a different look and a different way of living, now it's applied to everybody who comes across as a sexual assault survivor. It's like, no, bro. And then to spread it is like, how does Amanda feel reading that type of shit? Y'all saw that. And that's not helping with her healing. And that whole thing where it's like you said, where they're assuming other people have been abused based off things that have not been said. If they have, you're not making it any easier for them to come forward with these weird theories that could also, like, if they decide to tell their story and it's different than your theory, then a lot of people automatically discard it because that's not what we thought. So it can't be the real story.
This story's been out for years.
Yeah. And now you're telling something different. That doesn't make sense based off those bullshit theories we pulled out of our ass years ago. It's all harmful. It's bad all the way around. And that's why sometimes it's fun to dabble in conspiracy theories. And that's why it's harmful in ways, and you have to sometimes step back and not enable certain conversations on social media.
I think at the end of the day, you have to realize the person that you're talking about is a real person. Like, at the end of the day, they are real people. They are, you know, they have their own struggles. It might be true, might not, but I don't think you should be putting that out there if you don't know for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe there is a way to discuss it, but, you know, people just put it out there as a fact.
They say it's like they heard it from the source themselves.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm trying to get at. But those are the updates I've saw in the news. I see Jussie Smollett is appealing. There's another Taraji P. Henson connection, but
I don't even know what to say about Jussie. So I don't even know.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes and update that. Colleen Ballinger's back. We've said that. Drina, Michelle's pregnant.
You fucking stupid dumbass. Oh, I hate that.
Pauline.
Yes. Andrea, she's annoying. She is so annoying. What did you think was going to happen when you announced that you were pregnant by your boyfriend who's the same age as your son? What did you think that people were going to say when you announced it on International Women's Day, bitch?
I wonder if that was deliberate.
Yes, she said it in her post. It sounded stupid, especially because you were trying to deny it all those other times, trying to show bikini pics that were old girl. We knew. We were speculating. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. But girl, stop acting stupid. I just hate when these celebrities act like, oh my gosh, all this hate. You are too old to be pregnant by that man, that little boy man. But anyway, I'm done with those two dumbasses, Colleen and Drea.
Okay, so moving on just to some questions. How do you handle negative comments or reviews? How do you personally?
You know what it is? Maybe it's the slight wall of anonymity kind of keeps me in check. You got to realize, at least when I say you, I'm not saying like, you got to realize, kid. listen up, son.
You definitely handle them better than me. I feel like sometimes like, can you believe they said this? And you're like, oh, well, they're stupid. And I'm like having a meltdown.
It's like, if there was a more personal person who knew me, I would feel more slighted. But I think these people are just going off the information that we give them, as well as being biased because we're talking about somebody or something that they care about. I kind of just let it roll off because I think the reviews are very important and I do value them. But when it's the negative ones where there's like no constructive criticism or they don't really say why they're upset. It's like, okay, I really can't please you. So it's just like, okay, we move on. Some ones that are more particular about like the fact that we are biased or the fact that our research is just Wikipedia pages. Ugh. I think that's more of like people just being upset that you were either talking about their favorite or you just happen to be regurgitating information that's kind of already out there. But to be fair, it's like, the information is everywhere. So if it's on Biography and if it's on Time, of course it's on Wikipedia, but that's not where I found it.
And I'm always okay to be corrected. If there is something wrong with what we present, just tell us. Like, you don't have to say they're wrong, they're stupid. Like, just tell us what we're wrong about. If we looked into it and it's wrong, I'm have no problem making a correction.
Yeah, I don't mind either, just because also I hate wandering around thinking that I have the correct information about something or that I'm right about something, and the truth is like, nah, bitch, you've been spreading the wrong information. Actually, that's not right. So I like to be corrected just because I hate not being in the know.
Yeah, so I'll just go through some negative reviews.
Oh my God.
Just to see if we agree or disagree with them. Because we talk over each other, which, I mean, we do this over the internet without looking at each other. So, of course, there could be some talking over each other.
Yes, there's reasons for that. It's not because we think we're ugly.
So here's another review, and we'll see if we agree or disagree and what can we do better.
I'm dead. Okay, come on. I gotta hear this.
So this is from Sir Knee.
No, you're reading names?
I mean, it's public. It's not like I'm doxing them. And their address is... No.
Okay, tell us.
So he says, or she, or Sir
Knee. I mean, Jesus. They.
It says, "Everything Wrong with Our Culture." That's the title. It says, "These people spend zero time actually putting in effort to understand the subjects of their rants. They read Wikipedia pages of information and offer instant judgment. They openly admit they don't watch anything their subjects created or even try to understand context of what they're talking about. They do the very thing they would criticize others of doing. Don't contribute to this degradation of society. Move on." First of all, it's never that serious.
Goddamn degradation, man.
We're degrading society. It's never that serious. We have gotten that comment sometimes because we do say when we don't know like their music or we're not that familiar with the movie or something.
Or we ain't gonna watch that shit. We ain't gonna listen to that shit.
And I think if we're criticizing the movie, then yes, we should watch it.
Yes.
But we're not. Our podcast is not a movie review. Our podcast is not a music review. Our podcast has talked about the scandals and how it was handled and how it affected their career. So that's why I don't take that. Again, Wikipedia. Sometimes I'll glance at Wikipedia just to get like a jumping off base, but I don't. Like, I usually use more than one source to confirm stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's the two major things in there that I can kind of argue with is we don't watch the information and Wikipedia. So false.
We have never claimed to be neutral. We try our best to report both sides as well as our own bias and opinions. When we talk about somebody, we're going to share our opinions, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. And it just is what it is, honestly. I get that whole, like, being frustrated when somebody is talking about somebody or a subject and they've, like, not fully reached into their work. So you're like, oh, how could you criticize them? But I think there are, like, people who you need to watch their movies and listen to their music and stuff to get a sense of who they are and cover them. And then there's some people that you don't. The information in the news and who they've portrayed themselves to be speak for themselves. So you don't have to dig into their media. I think it just depends. And I think it's a valid criticism, but I don't think that it's anything I'm going to change. No offense.
And for the most,
if I feel the need to watch or listen to something, I will. And if I don't feel it's 100% needed, I won't dabble into it.
Just like, okay, we do like familiar ourselves a little bit, like with Ansel Elgort. Me and you fell in love with that one song, Supernova.
In fact, I've changed my reason. That's why I don't dig into it. But you're liking shit, and then I can't like them no more.
We do a celebrity each week, so it's not like we can go through their whole filmography. Their whole filmography, their whole body of work, their whole autobiography. Like, usually if there's a book, I'll try to read some of it, all of it. I'll, you know, try to familiarize myself a little bit, but realistically, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, this is not call her, call me, call them daddy. This isn't Joe Rogan. This isn't all them other people. Motherfuckers got jobs. People got jobs.
Well, I feel like we're better researched than Joe Rogan. But
of course, but what I'm saying is that, like, a lot of the people we talk about have had decades and decades long career. You can't just go through that media, especially when the media has nothing to do with the person. Like, for instance, we covered Mel Gibson. I was with my sister the other day, and we ended up watching Daddy's Home 2. Do I need to watch fucking Daddy's Home 2? To write up and research Mel Gibson? No, the fuck you don't. So also, it's like, there's time wasters. There's things that are valuable to your research. And going through everything they've ever done is sometimes not necessary.
Okay. This one's from Rosemary FL in the United Kingdom. The title is Presenter Unprepared.
Ooh, that's me. I know it's me.
It is about you. But... But I'm gonna hold on. It said, listen to the Sinead O'Connor episode. The male presenter has thoroughly prepared. The female presenter appeared to be struggling to concentrate on what he is saying. She seems lost at stages of the conversation and seems completely unprepared for the conversation. Very odd-putting, would be more interesting, listen, whatever. So I debate on reading this one just because it's kind of attacking you. But
why the fuck would you read this? What the fuck? Do you not care about me and my self-esteem? And I shouted the UK. I said, UK!
UK! Well, bro. I didn't promise you. Like, yeah!
How you doing it to me, bro?
Okay. Our type of podcast. I know there's some podcasts.
No, just... let me talk. It's attacking me. I have to talk first.
Okay.
Okay. This is so funny. People are sending us bad comments, and I'm low-key validating them, because this is what I'm saying. I'm going to say this 100%, no regrets. Y'all are not here when I record. I live in a full house, and shit happens. So there are honestly sometimes in different episodes where a bitch is just saying, because I am handling a fire off the mic. And I can't put my full attention on what Jose is saying. That does happen occasionally. I will not lie. So she might got me there. I don't know if that happened on Sinead O'Connor, because I remember I felt pretty engaged in Sinead O'Connor, but who knows? Secondly, y'all, we do these all these episodes handed off because whoever is speaking, whoever's episode it is, that's the person with the script. That's who did the research. We don't share each other's script. The other doesn't know the research the other has done. So, yes, if it's not my episode and I seem unprepared, because I am. Now, yeah. If it is my episode and I seem unprepared, that's just because I get a little nervous and I tend to be long-winded and go off script sometimes when I think about something in the middle of me talking. So that part of what she said is kind of valid. It's a slight valid critique that kind of went into the wayside of you not understanding our show.
That's what I thought. I thought to myself, they must be older. It was a review that came in after Sinead had passed. It is a type of podcast. We're not the first to come up with it. You know, it's more of a conversation style. By design, one of us is unprepared. And we're supposed to represent the listener and give our feedback as, you know, the listener.
Uh-huh.
So I just think it's a format. If you don't like the format, that's okay. You know, I don't really like formats of one person, one presenter, just because I can't concentrate on that. Like, it kind of like, it just becomes like white noise to me.
So you can't handle what we do?
No, I can't handle one person talking. I can handle listening to conversations.
Oh, you mean like a podcast with one person?
Yes. If it's just one person talking, I'm like, what's happening? But if it's a conversation, I'm more engaged to it.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So it's not something that's going to change. It's something that it's designed to be that way. If you don't like it, then save your sorry, it's not for you.
Okay. I can't believe I shouted it out.
And this one, okay. This one is 5 stars, so no hate to them, but I think it is a good criticism, so I'm going to include it.
Okay.
And it was on my birthday that it came in. So. LK Kitten Face, thank you for the review. I love this one. The title is Love This, and it says, love this pod and will give you all the stars, but my goodness, I have never heard y'all try to force the benefit of the doubt like you did with Chrissy Teigen. I was a little weirded out. Most episodes, y'all are much more impartial. Katrina was better, but Jose, come on. Some of those tweets had no excuse, and I agree. People can grow and change, but telling someone to die is indefensible. It was gross. Love all the other episodes.
Katrina was better. I heard that. Katrina was better.
You know, I'm not mad at that one. I think we're going to have bad takes. I was biased.
A fucking terrible. You are a Chrissy Teigen apologist. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's gonna happen. We have biases. We all have biases. I defend Ellen DeGeneres still. You defend Roseanne.
First of all, don't be doing that. Because like I said, if a first-time listener gets on the show, they thinking that you were... Katrina has not defended any of those people. All those people Jose loves. He loves them.
Okay. So it is something. I'm glad they still rated us 5 stars. I'm very appreciative of that one. I think that is constructive criticism, you know?
Stop trying to force Chrissy Teigen to happen. It's not going to happen.
So that is a
review. How do you feel about Chrissy now, though?
Huh?
How do you feel about Chrissy now?
I've really heard of her, but I do think I still have a soft spot for her. And that's going to happen. We're going to have dumb takes. We're going to have takes that people don't agree with. And I think that part of the podcast, we have disagreements with each other, you know? So it's like, we're not always going to get it right.
That's true. That's true.
So that makes me move on to my next question. Is there someone that we have covered in the last 2 years that you kind of regret where you sided on?
Oh, regret where I sided on.
Uh-huh. Like the last time we talked about this, I regretted going so easy on J.K. Rowling. I think I was not as aware of how transphobic she was.
Man. Okay, so there was... I
can go first if you need time to think.
Yeah.
Mine was... And I honestly don't know who covered them, me or you, but Krishan and Blueface.
That was me.
Okay. I think I was way too sympathetic towards Krishan. I think I gave her so many excuses. And I don't know if we would redo that episode, like doing it now, if I would still kind of ride for her as much as I did. I think, I don't know if she's just as bad as Blueface, but she has her own demons. I think I totally glanced over the, when you told me that she wrote her name in blood or wrote in blood when she broke into his house. Like, yeah, that is not mentally unwell. And I was just like giving her a pass and trying to put more of the blame on Blueface and none on her. And I think that's, for me, I kind of always side with the woman. So it's a bias I have. But I would definitely, if we redid it, I think I would go harder on her.
Okay. I don't fucking know. I'm going to be honest. I think, personally, I feel like I was on the right side of history all the time. I'm just being honest, because I can't, just flipping through here, I can't see a name and think, was I on the opposite side? Of
maybe
whatever?
Not opposite, but it could also be like, I should have went harder on them. I should.
And that's another thing. I'm not going to say that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe.
If you stand by it, you stand by it.
I think I do. I think there's always people who, to be fair, I made a disclaimer. I made a disclaimer on James Charles, the one we did after James Charles.
Yeah, you did.
Because I said I didn't go hard enough on James Charles because I felt like re-listening to the James Charles episode, I was saying like, oh, he's trash, he's this, he's that. But I felt like I really didn't hit on the fact that this is a grown-ass man talking to literal teenagers, and he knows what he's doing, and he's knowingly, he keeps jumping into the pedophilia pond. And I wasn't really expressing how nasty and disgusting that was, especially using his celebrity to do so and his money. So I did make a disclaimer the next episode that I felt like I should have jumped on it. Well, no pun intended, never mind. I should have really went, I really should have went in.
I think it's just how the podcast is designed. Like, you know, we give each other a little bit time to say something, but sometimes if there's like no feedback, we move on. So it's like,
yeah.
And sometimes you don't have that time to digest it. Sometimes like you're like, what's about to happen? Let me shut up so I just get the rest of the story.
Exactly. And then I feel like sometimes you don't like know exactly how to word your words in a correct way until later, which is part of the processing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, I know what I wanted to say now. Like that whole, like, after you get in a fight, you remember all the good comebacks and shit.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I definitely feel like there's always anybody who did any type of sexual assault, anybody who was racist, anybody who was a killer, I could have always really went in on those people more. So any of those types of people we cover, they deserved for me to go to hell. But sometimes I wasn't in the mood, or sometimes I didn't have the insult or the vocabulary. I do have a question. Do you ever feel the need to censor yourself? Why or why not? Like certain thoughts, certain words, certain feelings?
Yes, I do. I think sometimes my initial reaction is victim blaming. And I, like, once I think it through, I'm like, why am I blaming them? Like, I don't even try and think of a situation. But, you know, sometimes it's when we talk about these things, it's like, why did they let it get that far? Why did they stay with this person after getting beat? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? And it's like, why am I focusing on them when I should be focusing on why did this person beat them? Why did this person do this to them? So I don't know. I feel like my first reaction is always, well, that wouldn't be me. I would do this. I would do that. And it's not always that easy. So I do censor myself just so I could think it through. Because, you know, sometimes your first thought is not the right thought.
I agree.
That's a good question.
Thank you. I'm in my Baba Walters era.
Also, there's stuff that I know you would know that I'm joking, but sometimes my humor can be dry and I don't want to say that because just in case someone does not know I'm joking.
I agree. There's tons of jokes I feel like I still say sometimes and I'd be like, ooh, okay, cut that out. Don't say that. because it's either like really inappropriate and people who don't like that type of humor won't like it. Or I'd be like, ooh, that's more of an inside type of thing. And people might think I'm really weird or stupid and not know the context of that joke.
Yeah. Is there someone you were going to bring and decided not to? And if so, why?
There's a couple of people who have been on my long list of people to do an episode on. And either I feel like the timing gets wrong and there's more information that comes out, or I feel like this isn't like a big enough, like people won't care enough. So I've asked a few, and not too many episodes, because boy, I don't be getting rid of research like that. But there is definitely, I think, a solid three and a half episode subjects that I was about to bring them, and then something stopped me. I was about to bring Joe Budden, but then I changed my mind because I was just like, he's another person who's going to need more than one parts because of the type of career he's had and all the shit that he's done and said. And then I almost brought R. Kelly, but then I was like, I don't feel like talking about R. Kelly not near one more time. So then I asked him. I almost brought Hugh Hefner, but then I was like, who cares? And I kind of thought about that with Les Moonves. I just saw his name and I said, well, that's not a bad person to bring because of how powerful he was. Hugh Hefner was powerful, but Hugh Hefner is also kind of dead. So no offense, you kind of bring him anytime now. So yeah. That's kind of my rationale on why I've dropped certain people or why I thought I was going to do somebody and then I changed my mind.
I definitely have to be interested in who I'm covering. So sometimes I start looking into them and I just don't have interest for whatever reason. So I drop them. Like Brittany Dawn was someone I dropped for a while. I think I was going to cover her very early on. And then I'm like, I'm not interested in this right now. And then I picked her up later. And, you know, at that time, the timing was better because the lawsuit and everything was settled. So it's like, sometimes it just works out for the better of this needs more time. And then someone like Gloria Trevi, I was going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I did the research. We missed for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, by the next week, I was moved on to someone else. So it's like, oh, I don't want to like dive back into that because now I have to remember stuff again. And I have my notes, but I have to, you know, just look at other things. And it's kind of relearning. And it's like, I know it, but I don't know it. So I don't know if I'm ever going to tackle it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's some people that are just, I feel like you do a better job of covering the bigger stars. And I think that shows because you've done like Woody Allen, you've done O.J. Simpson, you've done Roseanne Barr. And I see that mountain. I'm like, I don't know where to tackle this. And I don't want to make like a 20-part series or something. And one of those people would be Michael Jackson or the Jacksons in general.
I feel you. But to be fair, that's mostly like I'm able to do stuff like that because of you. I will tell you right now that like the Woody Allen and what was the other one you just mentioned?
OJ.
I was definitely insecure about both of those episodes. Also, you know, especially I don't want to say back in the day because it's not like I keep still doing it. But specifically when we first started, all my episodes were like almost 2.5-3 hours. So like you really helped with helping me trying to kind of edit myself. I'm still having issues with it, but you help with the way that you talk, with the way you edit, and the support that you give after the episode is out. Because there's been a lot of episodes where I was stuttering. We had to stop and start a lot. We did this and that. And I just didn't feel good about the episode. And you'd be like, Katrina, that was hilarious. Or Katrina, that was great. Good research. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Because I'm like, oh, shit, I did not feel the same way.
I think there's definitely, there's episodes like, you know, I think if I don't like an episode, I would tell you I don't like it. But I think there's episodes where I think we're on fire. And we very click. And then there's episodes where it's like, okay, we did good. It's not our best. It's not our worst. It's a good episode, though.
Exactly, and yeah.
I think those fire episodes have been some of the ones where I was like the most insecure, and it's like, how is Katrina going to respond to this? Because like sometimes it's like, is this interesting? Should I bring this? Like, I'm just gonna hope for the best. I'm gonna present it, and Katrina has to do the heavy lifting sometimes.
Sometimes
I feel like those episodes work out the best.
Yeah, the thing about your episodes, if you're saying I bring the bigger stars, like you have this ability to bring these like scandals and celebrities that maybe I'm not as familiar with, or I know of, but I don't know why they're like, why it's scandalous. And you just like tell these stories that like, damn, I didn't even know that.
I think I started.
The people you bring are great.
Early on, it's like everyone I brought, it's like you knew about it. I'm like, damn, I got a surprise or I got a dinner.
You were like, do you, before we would record, you'd be like, so, do you know the name blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh, yeah, the person on blah, blah, blah. You're like, what the fuck?
Because, yeah, sometimes you're like, oh, I remember them. They pissed me off with this. I'm like, how? I just heard about them yesterday. How do you know this history? Is there someone on your list, your short list?
Someone on my short list.
Like, let's, their time is coming.
Trying to think. I thought I had a short list, but apparently I don't. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think probably just because I've said it, and I think it's just time to get it over with no matter whatever else happens. I think Joe Budden is probably going to be close.
There's been a few times where you said you were going to bring him and you haven't, so.
I haven't. But I think he's close. I don't know if he'll be next after my part two. But also, I've been thinking about the world of wrestling. And I'm not even familiar with wrestling.
Someone on my shortlist is Vince McMahon.
Okay, I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole. You got that one.
Yeah, there is a lot of wrestling scandals.
Yeah.
Some of them, like China, she was kind of done wrong. And there's like that angle, and then there's the people in there who've done wrong. So it's like, which way do you tackle it? And another people that are on my short list, but they have not had a reckoning, I feel like. They have not had enough of, you know, a cancellation, if you will, is a lot of people on the right. You know, we did Andrew Tate, which I like that episode, but like Fresh and Fit, Steven Crowder's finally his day, you know, he's getting more backlash now. Candace Owens just got fired and I've been wanting to cover her. So it's like, finally, they have some consequences that maybe I can make an episode out of.
I agree. And I can't stand talking about racists. So people like most of the racists you have also talked about. Because I just can't stand talking about some of them people. I'd rather talk to the killers. I mean, talk about the killers.
Yeah, there was a time. I don't think I've really done a lot of main focus sexual assault ones recently. And it was just, I never understood how people that do podcasts be like, oh, it's so draining, until I started doing it. It's like, this is draining to always like look into this, to talk about this, and, you know, just have to relay that information. It's like, you don't want to talk about that all the time. It's too SVU in here.
Yes. Do you feel more of a drive and passion to do the show now, or more when we first started?
It comes in waves. Because when we first started, I remember my goal. That's why I'm always okay with learning something new and being corrected. Because my goal when we first started episode one was, I'm going to exonerate Bill Cosby. And then I looked into it and I'm like, damn, I cannot.
I forgot that you used to say, why did you bring it back up?
You would be like, maybe we should wait to do Bill Cosby, because I feel like you knew more about it. I'm like, no, I can't wait. And so there's sometimes where I'm like, have we covered all the big ones? Have we, like, is this, you know, do we need to hang it up flat screen? But then there's like, well, we haven't even discussed this person, that person, this person. So it does come in waves. I feel when I'm constantly working on it, the podcast, I feel more like onto the next one. Let's keep going. But then there's sometimes where I'm like, I'm not interested in it. I think that's just how my mind works. I focus on one thing. What about you?
Kind of what you said, at least with the waves part, there will be like a good stretch. Well, first of all, I will say, if I had to just put it down to before or present, I would say present. When you first asked me to start, I was like nervous, and it wasn't that I wasn't sold on the idea, but I was more so insecure about my part of it. So there was a willingness to do it, but that drive wasn't there yet. But there's episodes where you bring them and I'm like so excited. And then there's stuff I'll research and people I'll find out, and I'm typing up the script and I love how it sounds and I'm so excited. And I'm like, I'm so glad we're doing this. And then, you know, life happens, and that, unfortunately, because this isn't my main thing, my main focus, when life tends to happen to me, it kind of puts a damper on the other things that I do in my spare time. So when I'm not feeling as well or as upbeat or as creative, I'm not as happy to come to the mic. But as I learn to navigate my different moods, the things I'm doing, the things I'm trying to do, it does get easier. And so then the passion opens up for me more about making sure I get this right, making sure my presentation feels right, and that I come with the best information as well as the best attitude.
Also, I think sometimes I get into my own head. I think, oh, we haven't had a good episode in forever. And then I go back to the episodes. I'm like, no, that one was good. I like that one. So what am I thinking? Like, I like these episodes. So where are the bad episodes that are in my head of, you know, I don't want it to be we're both on here not wanting to do it, not, you know, phoning it in.
Yeah. But
I feel like that's always off mic. Once we start talking, I'm like, once we go off the mic, I'm like, I love that episode. I love discussing it. I love, you know, sometimes I forget that we're recording. We're just having a conversation. I don't always like the editing, just because sometimes we sound like idiots. It's like, well, let me edit these sentences we repeated seven times. You know, we both, sometimes we can't get out the words.
There is, yeah, some bad takes. But I will say, I feel like I have at least double on you. There's been some like rants you had to cut out because I started at point A, but I went to point three. I was not going in any type of chronological order, and I was jumping back and forth. So yeah, you've definitely saved me on some of that editing, even if it ends up like you have to chop it. Y'all, if it's chopped, there's a good reason. It's a good reason.
For my last question, pretty much the same thing, but is there any topics or themes you want to bring? Because we also do those instead of just celebrities.
That I want to bring?
Uh-huh. Or maybe you were going to bring.
So like I was talking about, I am thinking about doing wrestling subjects. Like the theme would be, the common theme is that it's about wrestlers, but you have a different subcategory. You have the scandals that are more about inclusion / diversity, racism. You have the ones that are about the steroids and the bad injuries and the hiding things, hiding the health of wrestlers. And then you have the other subsection of when their health really deteriorates to the part where it affects their actual behavior outside. And then you got the suspicious deaths. So it was like so many subcategories that I felt like, I don't know, I might want to dive into one of those for sure as far as wrestling goes. Because if you think about it, those subcategories exist with every sport, really. But yeah. I just really started to get into wrestling for some reason. And you bringing up China really made me think about it, because I didn't even really No, I knew China as a wrestler, but I was infatuated with China as the reality TV star.
Surreal Life and Celebrity Rehab. Was she on Celebrity Rehab?
Yes, and yeah. She was on, I think she was on one more. But yeah, I was obsessed with her that way. So when she died, I was sad, because I knew about all the stuff that she had went through on TV and in her past. So it's like stuff like that. Off the top of my head, I can't think of another like specific theme. You're really good at like finding common themes. I'm kind of jealous, especially when you came up with the whole literary scandals thing.
I want so much more of those, but it's like, let me space them out.
Yeah, you're real good at coming up with themes. So the real question is, what are you thinking about?
I know Literary Scandals is a top one for me, just so people think I'm a bookfluencer.
He's coming.
But also, family channels, I don't think we've hit on enough. And I think the first one I would bring is 8 Passengers, Ruby Frankie. That's more of, I'm just waiting. Like, when is the right time for that one?
Uh-huh.
Because there is still a lot of movie parts. There's still a lot of information we're learning. Anything sports, it's such a world that I don't understand that I want to get. You know, sometimes when we do sports, I hear linebacker did this, did that. I'm like, I have no clue what that means, but I'll act like I do. But it fascinates me because I don't know. So it's like a new exploration.
Okay.
I think that's all my questions. Do you have any more questions?
I'll do this as my last question. What is one subject or person or theme, whatever, that is completely off the table for you?
That I would present or that I would listen to?
No, somebody who's completely off the table. Somebody you will never cover.
Someone I wouldn't cover personally is, I don't know. I feel like I might cover anybody. Like,
there's not one person who, for some reason or another, either you feel like they don't deserve to be talked about, or you feel like you really just don't want to be the person to talk about them.
Someone that just comes to mind right now is, what is his name? They call him Talcum X.
Sean King.
I don't think
Talcum X is a crazy ass name.
I don't think I should be the one who presents that. I don't even think I should be the one who gives feedback on that. I think, you know, sometimes you see it all the time. You know, this is a Black conversation. It's just, I don't know if I'm the man for the job.
Okay.
So stuff like that, where I'm not really in the community, it's like, let me sit this one out and listen.
I feel that. I love that answer. I love that you said Malcolm X.
Because I always remember that name, but I don't remember his full name.
Well, that's all I have.
Do you have one?
No, I had another one, but it's kind of already roped into some of the other stuff we already talked about.
Do you have one that is off the table?
Oh, me as a any presidents. I'm not touching any president scandals with a 10-foot pole. Not only because, unfortunately, they all suck, but also they've done so much shit. You got to look all that shit up and be accurate about it. The only one who I might cover is Bill Clinton, because at least I'm in the know of some of that, so I would know where to start. But some of these other people, and so many, you have to rate their scandals of which ones you want to talk about.
That's true. And I thought about doing more political ones, but it's like maybe for bonus episodes, but I don't think I would want them on the natural pod.
You know what? That's so fun. Okay, so, I mean, if you've been with us, you know that we had a Patreon and then we didn't.
One day. I wanted it back up and running.
Yeah.
That's where we need to move the book episodes to. Like, you know, we gave them the free sample. Now let's take it away.
That's true. So besides any future book episodes when we get it back running, I definitely, not only just because of the work we would have to put in to do political episodes, but because of the climate that we live in, it's just not even like worth it to have it on your main podcast, any political, like any strong big political figures, because all I'm gonna do is just like tear people, like the people who know you are going to understand where you're coming from and either like or not like the episode. But people who are just finding you off of a political episode, I don't think that bears well for growth, I'll say.
Yeah, I agree. And just to, I just thought about this, about your previous question, a theme I do want to bring more of is religious people. I have a lot of religious people on my short list that I just don't bring because I don't want to shit on religion too much, but at the same time, there is a lot of scandalous religious people out there. I wanted to do a podcast called By Their Fruits, where it's about religious people, but I soon, like the big ones that had scandals.
You know, so funny. I feel the same about, like, I'd cover a religious figure 10 times over before a political one.
It's just sometimes the problem with them is just their religious beliefs. Like, they don't like gay people. They, you know, and it's just that kind of gets redundant. I want the ones that have bigger scandals, the ones that scam people, maybe had a gay lover, stuff like that.
You gotta love those religious people and their gay lovers, bro.
There is one on my short list. I forget his name, but I know his gay lover's name because his name's Mike Jones. And I always say, who? But I think his name's Ted Haggard, maybe. And he was on Wife Swap.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
It was a pretty big scandal, so you probably heard it. There's some wife swap scandals, too.
Yeah, those wife swaps were fucked up.
Balloon Boy.
Tay Haggard. I've seen this man before and I see it all on him.
Yes.
I hate you guys. Now come here, baby. I see a switch in him. I see it.
But then his gay lover made a book, Mike Jones did, and his wife made a book, and it's like, damn, do I have to read all these books?
Looking at it from all sides.
I think I just have one more question for you, and I told you to think about it a few weeks ago. Are you staying on with Save Your Sorry? This is your out.
I sat down with my friends and my family and I thought about this long and hard for a very long time. We've been in this thing for 30 years strong, and you know, you are my best friend, my friend of bestness. And you did tell me to think about this question long and hard, so I did. And I think I'm gonna stick on it. I said, stick on it. That long-ass monologue to say stick on it, I think I'm going to stick with you.
Good. I was thinking today, I said, if Katrina does not stay, I don't think I would continue Save Your Sorry. Like, I continue a podcast. It might be called, like, Keep Your Apologies, but I wouldn't...
Save Your Sorry's done?
Like, Save Your Sorry's our baby. Like, I don't think I could do it with anyone else.
Yeah, if you tried to bring another motherfucker on here, and it's not Trisha... That bitch gonna come up missing.
Well, that's good. I felt like you would say that towards the beginning. I think it was a week to week. I would ask you, and then I was like, okay, she's gonna
stay. You did after a few weeks. You were like, you did for a few weeks ask me, so are you still good? Is everything still good?
Anytime you would not text back immediately, I'm like, damn, she's quitting. She's quitting. And then... Yeah, so, okay, we're both in then. We're both in again for another year. Our contract, $0,
US cents. I just can't quit you. The money is too good.
Okay, good. So that was our episode, Podcaster on Podcaster. The last episode that we did like this is called Jose and Katrina. So I think this one would be called Katrina and Jose. The only time you would get top billing.
Fucking finally. And it only 3 years to finally get in the front.
Watch me put Jose and Katrina part two.
I'm like, my God. Now you treat me like Rosa Parks put me in the back again.
Oh, no, not Rosa.
I had to say that so I could guarantee my spot in the front.
So this has been a lighthearted episode, but we still like to end every episode on a positive note with some form of media we run and recommend, explore, discuss, or critique. Should you go first? Should I go first? Or should I read or write it?
Please, read the write-in first, please.
Okay, I will read our write-in. And surprise, surprise, it is not Patricia.
Oh, what?
This is from Christina from A Spooky Fame.
Hey, Christina!
She says, hey, it's been a while since I sent a media. I always mean to and then forget. With the release of Cowboy Carter and Beyonce's version of Jolene, I decided to check out the podcast Dolly Parton's America. It's so good, the sound design, the interviews, and of course, Dolly herself. I especially recommend the episode, the only one for me, Jolene. It's the story behind a song, plus a new take on it. Such a fun listen. As always, love the podcast. You two are amazing. I had a busy-ass month in March, so just now finished the Gabby Hanna episodes, Robin Thicke and Les Moonves. Stay a spooky, Christina. Which she has like 100 podcasts, so she has. Hey, right
girl, I mean, you ain't gotta hurry up and listen to us. We gonna be here. It's okay.
And Two, I just love that she has a sign-off of Say a Spooky. Like, I need to come up with one because I just love that.
Branding, branding, branding. She knows what the hell she's doing, okay? She's
a branding queen.
She's a Stay a Spooky bitch.
I you also didn't say
bitch, but I felt the bitch, Christina, and it was a good bitch. Not a bad bitch.
But have you heard the... I've never heard about it before. Polly's Part in America.
No, I didn't even know that there was a such thing.
Me neither. I have a fondness for Dolly, but I don't really know that much of her.
Exactly. I only know what clips I might come across of her in interviews and old pictures she shares and stuff like that. Yeah. I only know what Dolly wants me to know.
But thank you so much for writing in. Should you go next or should I go next?
I'll go next so I can get my shame over with.
Is it you not listening to Cowboy Carter?
I have not listened to Cowboy Carter.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I didn't even ask you, because I'm like, she has not listened to it and I do not want to be mad before we start recording.
Here is my problem. Like I said, I said to Trisha, my thing is that I am not always in a good mood to listen to new music. So if I know that there's a chance that I'm already going to like some songs and not like some songs, I want to be at peak mood to listen to know which ones I like and don't like. When I start listening to stuff when I'm not in the mood, I'll disregard songs. I'll skip it. Maybe I ain't hearing it right. It'll throw me all off. And I don't genuinely know how I feel because I was already irritated and annoyed. So when I turned on Cowboy Carter and I hit play, and I first heard the notes of that song, I said, I'm not ready for you, Beyonce. I paused it and I put it on a different playlist. I said I wasn't ready for it. Hilariously though, I based off a reel I saw the day before. No, yesterday. I ended up getting into 21 Savage's album.
Oh my goodness.
And I wasn't even like looking forward to his album or anything. I knew it's been out. So I ended up listening to that and I found a couple of songs. And you know, I love a good sample. And so one of these samples, a song off of Kill Bill. And it's, I think, is it Nina? Pronounced Nina. But it's 21 Savage, Travis Scott, Metro Boomin. But I was like, man, this is a great song. And then I heard Shoulda Wore Your Bonnet just based off the title. And that was hilarious to me. And that ended up being a decent song too. So yeah, that I ended up listening to 21 Savage instead of Beyonce. But I will be listening to Beyonce just because I can't go a full week. Everybody's been showing memes and everybody's picked their favorite songs and I don't have anything.
I knew you wouldn't. So I knew I was going to bring it this week.
It's so many songs. Why do I don't even know how y'all be listening to stuff right off the bat. How do y'all do that?
A lot of them are like little interludes. So they're just like 20 seconds. Not a lot, but like three or four.
Three or four and it's 20 something.
It's just, okay. When I first started listening to it, I was not in the mood either. And I was doing that thing where it's like, let me fast forward, let me skip, let me do this. And I said, Beyonce does not deserve this. Let me start over and re-listen. And I did. And I've listened to it like 5 times now, and each time it just gets better.
You said 5 times?
Yes. I'm on a Taylor break until... I'm trying to go on a Taylor break, but I keep trying to... I have to listen to her every now and then, but it is... I definitely liked it a lot better than Renaissance. And
really?
Yes.
Oh my God, I wonder how I feel. I'm okay. Going to feel...
Renaissance sometimes was too much for me and there was too much going on. I still liked the album, but it was too much for me. This one, besides maybe like organizing the tracks differently, I do think it is an amazing album. That's only getting better. But that was not my media because I can't really discuss it without you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, now I know I have to bring it next week.
I mean, you did the same thing with when her singles came out.
Okay, to be fair, though, that took 2 weeks because of you, though. I was ready next week, but then you text me and said, I don't want anybody to hear your thoughts on the Beyonce song, so I'm canceling recording. And I said, what?
I don't think it flows who cancels.
Okay, okay.
Because it's always me, so.
I've had some cancels in there, but I feel you. I'll keep your secrets.
Do you have your phone on you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to send you the picture of my media just so you know what I'm talking about real fast. Because it's very important.
Ooh, you a little freak.
Okay, so I go to the bookstore and I see this book called Case File Copendium.
Yeah, I would say that.
And I look at the book and I say, what is this book about? Because, you know, I have always lived by the saying, always judge a book by its cover. So to describe the cover, it's two men and one has his hand around the other guy's neck. So I turn the book around and I read what it's about. And it says, this guy is obsessed with this girl. He wants to be with her. The only thing that's in his way is her older brother. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, are they gay or what? So I'm thinking, who is gay? So of course, I have to buy.
Who is gay? Why are you gay?
I'm glad you got that reference. So I buy the book and I just feel like I stumbled upon a world I've never known about. I guess this is like a genre of books called Don Me. I don't even know how it's pronounced, but it's books about men that's catered to women, but I don't know if they're fully gay or if it's just hinted gay, because it's book one. And in the book, they have like, they keep, you know, coming into these encounters where it's like, they have to sleep in the same bed together. They get trapped on an island together. But
oh, the tropes. Oh, then it's definitely gay.
But they don't do anything. And one of the lines is like, oh, if you're homophobic, I'm even more homophobic. And it's like, so what? They turn gay in book two? Because in this one, besides they did kiss because one was drunk and he thought it was someone else. And the book is so weird to even describe that I don't even know what I'm walking into. But I finished the book. I can't even tell you what it was really about. And I don't know. I feel like every time I read a book, I know it's how it's going to end. And I don't know what the next page is on this one. So it's like, I'm interested, but I'm also cautious because I saw like people talking about it on Reddit and they're like, oh, I love that there's an age gap. And it's like, is that something that people are looking for in these types of books? Because I'm not okay with that. And I don't know if it's like all sexual. I don't know.
Interesting. They keep putting them in like those like romantic tropes, but they don't let them fall into it.
Yeah,
but this is a series.
A Chinese book translated to English. So it's like, are they going to hint at it forever? Are they going to turn gay? I don't know. So I guess you can read it online, but I bought the second book already. It comes out in June. So that'll be my update in June.
My gosh, you have to wait?
Yeah. And
I have to know now. I mean, you know, women do love reading about some gay men romance.
Yeah, and it says Don May is about gay men. So, but I don't know how gay it gets. But I'm going to find out.
I'm on the case. Well, don't you guys fucking worry.
If any of the listeners have made it this far, if you are a fan of Don May, can you like let me know like
what's happening?
What's happening? How far does it go? Is it all about romance? I feel like romance has to be the number one plot, but then there's all these other Don May books. And I bought some, and I don't know how far it goes. Yeah, so let's explore it. And by let's us, I mean me, and I'll tell you. So that is my media. Case File Compendium.
Case File Compendium. Are you fucking or you're not?
And another thing that's weird, it's like... it's so funny, the name. It's called, like, Psychological Ebola is, like, what he has. Like, he can't control himself. and it's like sci-fi, and it's like, what is going on in this book? But that's my media. I don't think I have anything else to add. Do you?
No, this was a great episode.
And it's way longer than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be 40 minutes.
You know us, once we get to talking.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. If this is your first time listening, I'm very surprised you made it this far. Very surprised.
And congratulations. You get absolutely nothing except for the pleasure of our voices.
But we will do another episode like this if we make it another year. If there's not
a follow-up. Talk about stuff to look forward to. I mean.
I don't know why we didn't do it last year. Because I wanted to.
I think that's what it was. It was that usually you're the one who organizes these episodes. So when you said we were going to do it and then we just ended up doing a regular episode, it was what it was.
Well, yeah, we just kept moving. Rolling on the record.
Year two, that's the year of moving on. No time to look back.
But we are in, we're almost at year three, almost. I think our first episode came out April 17th, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I mean, I was still going to call it shit.
Oh my goodness, look at our little college graduate. You go.
Now start earning us some money. Get you a real job.
But thank you guys so much for listening. I don't know, just write us whatever you want. It's been wonderful. Bye.
Bye.